بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما My dear respected brothers and elders and mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with this opportunity, gathering us in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Salah with Jama'ah and granting us this blessing of this month of Ramadan. It feels just like yesterday we saw the first moon of Ramadan, and now we can see that half of Ramadan has already passed by. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we are able to do, whatever ibadah we are able to do so far. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to make the most of the remainder of this month. You know, many of times what happens is before Ramadan begins, and if we do not prepare for the month of Ramadan, then the first couple of days go by, first 10, 15 days, half of Ramadan goes by. And since we did not prepare ourselves beforehand, we did not get into the groove beforehand to build the stamina for our ibadah, what happens is we're not prepared and we lack and we stay behind in our ibadah, in our worship. And then as time goes on, as maybe 10, 15 days pass by, then eventually, you know, we starting get into the groove of it, starting get into the hang of it. We come to the masjid more often, we perform more salah, tahajjud, etc., adhkar, Quran recitation. But then the whisper, the thought comes into our mind that there's only, you know, 10, 15 days left. What's the point now? You know, even if you start to recite Quran from now on, and you're only able to do one juz a day, you'll only do maybe 15 juz. You won't even be able to finish a whole Quran. So what's the point of starting now? You know, just wait until next year. But there's a saying in Arabic, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكُ كُلُّهُ, that what cannot be achieved 100%, something which cannot be achieved 100%, it doesn't mean that you leave it all together. So even though we may not have been able to achieve 100% of this month so far, it doesn't mean that we become despondent and we say this is it for the rest of the month. No, rather, even in whatever is remaining in this month of Ramadan, we do as much as we can, as much as we are able to. Even if that's 50%, 30%, 10%, even if it's 1%. Even if it's 1% that we can do in this remainder of the month, because this 1% is still better than nothing. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that whenever a good thought comes to your mind, whenever a good thought comes to your mind, then you should act on it. For example, if the thought comes to your mind that, you know, today I should wake up for tahajjud salah, perform tahajjud salah, or, you know, I'm in the masjid anyway, I should just spend some time, recite some Quran, make some dua. Right? These are all good thoughts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that these thoughts, they are guests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you treat these guests in a good manner, and in good manner meaning that you carry out these actions, you perform the tahajjud salah, you recite the Quran, you act upon these good thoughts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more tawfiq, These good thoughts will come again and again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tawfiq and the ability to carry out these good actions. But on the other hand, if one, he disregards these thoughts when they come to his mind, he doesn't act upon these thoughts, then this will be as if he is not treating the guest. Just as, for example, if someone comes to another person's house, he is their guest. So if he shows hospitality towards them, he feeds them, he takes care of them, this is treating them with respect and with honor. And if someone is treated with respect, then they will come to that person's house again and again. But if one does not treat them with respect, then he won't come to that person's house again. So if one does not treat these thoughts in a good manner, if he does not act upon these thoughts that come to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be snatched away from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this tawfiq away from him to do good deeds. Nonetheless, on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he was sitting amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he asked them that, what is the greatest verse in the Quran? What is the greatest verse in the Quran? And one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he said, the verse of Ayatul Kursi. Right? Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhu sinatu wa la nawm ila akhir al-ayah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, he got very happy. And he gave glad tidings to this Sahabi, and he got happy because he was happy that this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he knew about his religion, he knew about his deen. You know, and this is something that we should all take fakhr and take pride in, about knowing our deen, having knowledge of our deen. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us knowledge of this deen. You know, if Allah wanted, He could have given us other knowledge as well. Right? Knowledge of math, knowledge of science, and these are also good. But in terms of the best knowledge that one can have, it is the knowledge of deen. The reason for this is because this knowledge, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is eternal. It is everlasting. And so therefore, everything which is related to this deen, everything which is related to this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also everlasting. So also on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was describing a tree. He was comparing a tree to that of a Muslim. And he said, this is a tree like a Muslim, and it is a tree whose leaves do not wither, the leaves do not fall. What kind of tree is this? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but none of them, they answered. And then eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that this tree is the palm tree, the date tree. After a while, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, he tells him that, I was sitting there as well, and this thought came to my mind that the answer to this question was the date tree. But I didn't answer because the likes of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were sitting there as well, and they remained silent. So this is why I felt shy and I didn't feel like answering in front of them. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he tells him that you should have answered. You should have answered because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have gotten so happy that you knew the answer to this, and dua would have come out from his heart. Right? So we never know what actions we do that may attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I was saying, that everything in this deen, everything in this religion is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why it is all eternal, all everlasting. Once Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he was flying with his whole kingdom and with his palace. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was given many different miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had control over the wind, he was able to speak with the creation, he had control over other animals, over the creation, over the jinn. And so once Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was flying in his magnificence. With his whole, he wouldn't just fly with his throne, just himself. Whenever he would fly with his entire kingdom and his entire palace. So once he was flying, and there was one farmer with his herd, you know, just a normal layman. And he looked into the sky and he saw Sulaiman alayhi salam flying. And the words Subhanallah came out of his mouth. He said, Subhanallah. You know, these words, many a times we say these things, these words, we utter them, but we don't understand the true reality and the true weight and the true depth that these words have, right? Subhanallah, just saying Subhanallah, this is something we are saying, that we are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from any defect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from any defect. When you say Alhamdulillah, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Right? Just to understand the weight that these words can have, my dear brothers, it comes in the hadith that on the day of judgment, one servant will be brought into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his deeds will be weighed on the scale. On one hand of the scale, all his sins will be placed. And he will have so many sins, he will have so many sins that his sins will bring the scale all the way down. And on the other hand of the scale, and so after seeing this, he will think to himself that there is no way out for me. My sins are so much that they have outweighed the entire scale. And there is no way out for me anymore. But then on the other end of the scale, a small piece of paper will be put on that scale. A small piece of paper. And that one little small piece of paper will outweigh the entire scale on this side of the sins. And on that small piece of paper will be written the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That just from this kalima, from having this iman and yaqeen in his heart, this will outweigh all of the sins on the other end of the scale, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell his servant to go into Jannah, and that he is free, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him to go into Jannah. This is the weight that these words have. If you look at the depth, one is the weight and one is the depth. If you look into the qabr, apparently we just see this qabr as a six foot hole into the ground, maybe a few feet wide, 6 feet deep. But when the believer is placed into the grave, when the believer is buried under the ground, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes his grave so wide as far as one can see. How does this land, which apparently we see as a land only 6 feet deep and a couple feet wide, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so vast and so wide? This is because once again, the depth and the weight that this kalima, that these words have, my dear brothers. You know, these are words that we said in our salah. When we're first tying our hands, the takbir al-tahrima, we say Allahu Akbar. And then in Surah Fatiha, we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In our ruku, in our sujood, we are saying Subhanallah. After salah, the tasbihat that we read, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Right? Each and every one of these, tahmid, takbir, tasbih, all of these things, they are connecting us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they all have their own avenues, their own special qualities in their ways of connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so nonetheless, back to the point of the farmer who saw Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam flying. So he said, Subhanallah, these words came out of his mouth. And as I said, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had control over the winds. So these words, they carried themselves to the ears of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And so upon hearing this, he came down to this farmer. And you can just imagine, you know, a farmer, a layman with his herd, very humble, always stays to himself. And now he sees Sulaiman alayhi salam with his majesty, you know, with his whole palace, with his whole kingdom coming towards him. You know, a farmer who never had any contact with any royal family or anyone like this before. And so he's going to have, you know, a sense of khashiyah, a sense of a fear over himself. And so nonetheless, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he comes to this farmer and he asks him that, what words did you just utter? Tell me what words you just said. And so, you know, out of fear of his presence, he said, you know, I didn't say anything. But Sulaiman alayhi salam, he urged him on and he said, no, you know, just tell me, please tell me what you said. And he said, I said, Subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. And because I was thinking to myself that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create something so magnificent, you know, after seeing the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, seeing him flying, I thought to myself, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create something so pure, something so magnificent, then how great, how magnificent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, he tells this farmer, he says, I came to give you glad tidings. Glad tidings of what? He says, glad tidings that your subhanallah, the subhanallah you said, is better than Sulaiman alayhi salam and the whole kingdom and the whole palace of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he said, the reason for this is because your subhanallah is eternal, it is everlasting. You will get the reward for this in the hereafter. But the kingdom Sulaiman alayhi salam and the kingdom and the palace of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it is something which is related to the dunya, to this world. And so one day even this kingdom will have to perish. One day even this kingdom will have to go. One day even Sulaiman alayhi salam himself will have to go. So you must remember, everything in this world, everything related to this world will have to go one day. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that every single thing in this world will have to perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why we hear time and time again in Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That the hereafter is better. It's two qualities. The hereafter is better and it is everlasting. We should think to ourselves that we are all attracted to this world, to materialism. And we have some people, you know, chasing dreams. They have their own dreams. They have their own aspirations. And so we should ask ourselves that, are we giving preference to these worldly aspirations and to these worldly dreams over our akhirah? If one has his base, if his base is deen, if his base is the religion, and then around this he has his worldly aspirations and his worldly dreams, then this is completely fine. There is no problem with this. Because as long as his deen is intact, then inshallah even his world will become his deen as well. But if it's the other way around, if his main base is the dunya, the worldly life, and then around it is surrounded by little bits of deen, then this is where there is a problem. Because eventually what will happen is that this dunya and this worldly life, it will overcome the little deen that this person has. This is why we need to have moderation in our lives, my dear brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. That we have created you as a middle nation, as a nation of moderation. This deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it is a complete deen. And it is a deen of moderation. Ibn Athir al-Jazari rahmatullahi alayh, he mentions that if we look at the good qualities that a believer has, in every good quality, there are two extremes. There are two extremes. For example, if we take the quality of generosity, of being generous, on one extreme, you have someone who is very stingy, very miserly, very stingy. He doesn't give any money. Right? He doesn't give any money to charity. If organizations come for donations, you know, to help the poor, to help the orphans, to help the needy, he doesn't give any money to help out in any of these causes. All he does is he accumulates his wealth, and he just sees his money in his bank go up and up, but he doesn't give out any money. This is one extreme. And on the other extreme, you have those who are over extravagant. They overspend. They don't look at how much they are spending. They don't look at what they are spending it on. They spend it on useless things, things that they do not need. Right? This is the other extreme. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا. When Allah is mentioning the different qualities of the believers, Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا. That when they spend, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. That they do not overspend. They are not over extravagant. They do not spend on useless things. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. And they are also not stingy. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. That they are in between. Meaning they spend with moderation. If we look at another quality, the quality of bravery, of shuja'a. On one extreme you have a person who is very cowardly. He sees something going on in the street, right? Maybe someone being oppressed, something wrong being done, and you know, maybe he just takes out his phone and he records, but he doesn't go out of his own way to try and stop whatever is going on. And on the other hand, you have someone who takes so much control of the power that instead of helping people who are oppressed, he becomes the oppressor and the zalim himself. This is the other extreme. And in between those two extremes, you have the quality of shuja'ah, of bravery. And so similarly, what I was getting to is materialism. Is on one hand you have materialism, and on the other hand you have spirituality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created this deen in such a way that we can have a balance in both this materialism and in spirituality. That there is a balance in both of those things. So going back to that point, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That the hereafter is better and it is everlasting. For example, if someone, he has two cars, and one car, if he's going to buy, he has two options. One car is a car that will last him maybe 20, 30 years, and one car will last him maybe 5 years. So obviously you will tell, just to check with him, you tell him that you're going to buy the car which is lasting 20, 30 years, right? Because this is the better car, it's going to last you longer. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ. The akhirah, the hereafter is better. وَأَبْقَى, and it is everlasting. Right? If you take the same example, he has two options. One car is a brand new car, but he knows it's going to last him 5-10 years and is going to break down. And another car is going to last him forever and ever. So which car will he choose? He will choose the one which is everlasting. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The hereafter is everlasting. This worldly life, it is only temporary. This is why it comes in the hadith that when we come into this worldly life, we should treat it as a pit stop. As a pit stop, like when we are going, we are traveling, and if we need to fill up gas at a place, or we need to get some food, we stop there only for a certain amount of time, just to get food, to get some rest. But then we continue back onto our journey. Similarly, from the moment we come into this world, this entire world, our stay in this entire worldly life is like our pit stop. And our journey comes to an end in the hereafter. That is our final destination. So this is why instead of getting too comfortable in this worldly life, just as someone does not get too comfortable when he comes to that pit stop, he just fulfills his needs, whatever is needed, and then he continues on with his journey. Similarly, in this world, one should not get too comfortable. Too comfortable in the sense that he gets so engrossed in this worldly life that he loses sight of his final destination. He loses sight of the hereafter. And like I mentioned before, that everything connected to this world is temporary. The food, the celebrations, right, the moments of happiness, the moments of sadness. If there's a wedding in someone's house, and this is a moment of happiness, but this happiness is not going to last forever and ever. Eventually the celebrations will end. Same thing with grief, with sadness. Eventually these moments also come to an end. If there is a baby in the house, eventually this baby is not always going to remain as a baby, it's going to grow older. Right? If there's food, even if a person puts the food inside the fridge, but there will come a time where he will have to either finish the food or he will have to throw it away. Because there is an expiry date, there is a best before date for everything in this worldly life. It will have to come to an end. But everything related to the Akhirah is forever and ever. Even the food in the Akhirah is forever and ever. What does this mean? For example, it comes in the hadith that in Jannah, when a person, first there are two types of people in Jannah. One will be the higher type, the higher status person in Jannah, that when he just thinks of something, whatever he wants, he will be granted that thing. And then the lower person in Jannah is that person that when he wants something, he will have to say it. He will have to say it out loud and then it will be granted to him. So nonetheless, this person in Jannah, he will see a bird flying over. And when he sees this bird, then the thought will come to him that, you know, maybe like he will think to himself of the barbecue that he used to have in this world, and he will think that, you know, I want to have this bird, I want to eat this bird. And what will happen is this bird that was flying, it will fly down in front of him, and in front of him this bird will be cut and it will be cooked and it will be prepared in the manner that he wants to eat it. This will happen in front of him and it will be presented in front of him, and so he will eat this bird. Now after he eats this, what will happen is how in this world life, after we consume something, after we eat something, then eventually we have to go for istinja and we have to use the washroom. But in Jannah, there is no such thing as having to go for istinja or having to go to relieve oneself. Rather, after he eats this meal, after he consumes the food, what will happen is he will burp. A burp will come out. And this burp will have very beautiful fragrance. It will have very beautiful fragrance, you know, not like the burps that we smell in Taraweeh Salah. But this burp will have a very beautiful fragrance that it will, everything that is surrounding him will also start to smell nice. And as a result of this burp, whatever he ate, now it will be gone from his stomach. Whatever he ate will be gone from his stomach. Because it will have fulfilled its purpose. It will have filled this person, and now there is no need for it anymore. And what will happen is after this same bird that he had eaten, it will come back together and it will go and it will fly away. So this is what I mean by it is eternal. That the hereafter is eternal. Everything related to it, everything that is relating to it, inside Jannah as well, it is eternal. And, you know, we talk about Jannah, we talk about Jahannam, but we talk about them with the visions that we have in this worldly life, because we don't have anything to compare it to. So we compare it to things that we see in this worldly life. You know, if we think about a house in Jannah, a palace in Jannah, we think maybe a house with like four walls, you know, maybe glass doors, maybe a balcony here, date trees outside, you know, lakeside front, rivers, streams in front of the house. We compare everything to this worldly life. But the reality is we don't know the haqiqat, we don't know the reality of the Akhirah, of Jannah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, what is Jannah? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That it is something that no eyes have seen before. No eyes have seen before. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and no one has ever heard of anything like it before either. And it has not crossed the imagination of anyone either. It has not crossed the imagination of anyone either. Because there are different methods, there are different levels that we can use to think of something. One is the lowest level is just using our imagination. If someone tells you that, you know, this beach is like this, or this house, it has three floors, it had four floors with a balcony. So one can imagine, using his imagination, he can think of something. And one is seeing something with your own eyes or hearing about something. Which is when you have true yaqeen, haqqul yaqeen. And one is aynul yaqeen, is seeing it. So nonetheless, these are different levels. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that Jannah is something that you cannot compare it to in this worldly life. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about this, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and we in this world life, we are the best of creation. We are the best of creation. This is the best form in this worldly life for us. So then is it not out of the reach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the Akhirah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a different form for us? In the Akhirah, in Jannah, that there is a different form for us? And so nonetheless, our main goal, we talk about Jannah, and our main goal should be to attain Jannah. But it shouldn't be that we perform our good deeds just for this main purpose. Our good deeds and our actions should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, because we are materialistic, we look at everything from a materialistic perspective, this is why even if we perform our deeds for Jannah, then inshallah this is still sufficient for us. And once Rabi'a Bisqir radiallahu anha, she was walking, and on one hand she had water, she had a jug of water, and on the other hand she had fire. Fire meaning something to make fire. And so she was walking with these things in her hands. And so someone saw her, and he said to her that, where are you going with this water and with these things to make a fire? And she said, I'm going with this water to go and extinguish the fire of Jahannam. And I'm going with these things to light the fire so that I can light Jannah on fire, so that I can get rid of both this Jannah and Jahannam. And the reason being is that people, they only worship Allah, they only carry out these actions so that they can gain Jannah. And they only stay away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can stay away from Jahannam. But I want it that we worship Allah and that we carry out these actions of Allah only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. But like I said, we are weak and we look at things from a worldly perspective. So this is why it is sufficient for us that we worship Allah even if it's for attaining Jannah. And I will conclude with this, that going back to our main point, the main point of this talk, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And before that Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Giving preference to the Akhirah over this worldly life. Whenever we come across something, for example, if it's food, if it's a choice that we have to make in our food, is this food halal, is it haram? We know it's something very tasty, but we heard that it is mashkuk, that maybe it is suspicious. So it is better to leave it instead of consuming it. If we know that there is a source that we can gain a lot of money from, but we know that this source of income, it is not something which is halal. So do we leave it for the sake of our deen? Or do we let our worldly desires take over and we consume something which is haram? This is the quality and the reality of taqwa. Is that when we are faced with two options, the options of halal and the option of haram, the option of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the option of causing the displeasure and the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which option do we choose? This is the reality of taqwa. And once again, if we develop this quality within ourselves, if we develop this quality of constantly thinking to ourselves, reminding ourselves of the Akhirah, of giving preference to the Akhirah, then we will see that our energy will also shift towards this. And once our energy shifts towards the Akhirah, then we will see that it will become a lot easier for us to do good deeds, to stay away from bad deeds, and to give preference to the Akhirah in each and every one of our actions that we do in our day-to-day lives. So once again, the main point of this is that, because we all know that one day we will have to go into the grave, and one day we have to pass away. And once we go into the grave, my dear brothers, that is when the scenes of the hereafter will start. When the angels will descend. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ That those who say that our Lord is Allah and they stay steadfast, then the angels of mercy descend. The angels of mercy descend and they extract the ruh from this person very smoothly. They extract the ruh from this person very smoothly. You know, when we hear that for people who are very pious, then their ruh is extracted smoothly. But the question arises is that sometimes we see that people who are very pious, we see them in their final moments, that even they are struggling with this. Sometimes even their ruh is not easily extracted. And so some people, they have this question. And so the Sufis, they answer it very beautifully. They say that the reality of the matter is that, like Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ That when the time for someone comes to pass away, their ruh can only be extracted at that specific moment. The time that our ruh will be extracted, the exact year, the exact month, the exact date, the exact time, the minute, down to the exact second, it has already been written when our ruh will be extracted. And it will not be extracted 1 second before, nor 1 second after. لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. And so this is what the Sufis say, that a person who is so engrossed in this dunya, he is so engrossed in this worldly life, that when his ruh is being extracted, that he will want to stay in this worldly life, because he is so attached to it, and he is afraid of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he will want to stay in this worldly life so bad, that when his ruh is being extracted, he is pulling his ruh back towards himself, because he wants to stay. And so the angels are pulling his ruh away from him, but because he wants to stay in this world, this is why you see that he is pulling it back, and this is why he is having this hardship in his final moments. But like I said, that sometimes we see this happen even with our pious predecessors, that even in their final moments we see something like this. And so the scholars, they answer it very beautifully. They say that just how the person who was very attached to this worldly life, the sinner who wanted to stay in this world, on the other hand, you have the pious person, a person very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his desire is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as possible, as fast as he can. And so his ruh is jumping, is trying to jump out of his body so that he can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quick as possible. His ruh wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even before its appointed time. But the angels, they are pushing his ruh back into his body, that no, your time has not come yet to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is why you see that sometimes even with the pious people, that they are going through these difficulties in the final moments, because they want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before their appointed time. And so then this, we conclude, once again, the main point we understand in our day-to-day lives, if it comes to giving the preference, if we are faced with a decision, think to ourselves, before we do anything, think to ourselves, is this going to affect my akhirah in a positive manner or in a negative manner? Am I giving preference to the akhirah, or am I giving preference to the dunya after I carry out this decision? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give first and foremost me and thereafter all of us the ability to act upon whatever has been said. Amin wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala akhiri khalqih, Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi.